Nora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Hi everyone, good morning and welcome to this late starting meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name is Dan, I'm an alcoholic and I'm the chairperson for today.
Feeling
good. Hello everyone. If you'd like to join me in with the serenity prayer, that'd be great.
God
love
the serenity, the gift of being right from our change, courage of change to bring by hand, and wisdom to know the difference. Okay, thanks everyone. Right, what we always do with AA meetings, is we start with the AA preamble. Now, I haven't got it in front of me, so I'll try and remember. Okay, so, yeah, if you want to look it up, that'd be great. Okay, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other so they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Alcoholics, there are no dues or fees. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. Alcoholics Anonymous is
not
allies of any sect. The nation, organization, institution does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our prime purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well done, team, everybody.
Oh, that was all bad.
It wasn't all bad.
No.
Okay, it was a team effort. All right, so we're lucky enough to have representatives from the Tuesday Big Book meeting in the studio today. So what we'll do is we'll go in the room and just share experience, strength and hope as it relates to alcoholism and as it relates to the Tuesday Big Book meeting. So I'll ask Rosie to take us off, thanks.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Rosie, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rosie.
So when I was drinking, it started off normal, I define normal, but I was just, you know, enjoying drinking and as a young person, and then as the years went by, I started to realise that my thinking towards alcohol was not normal. I would think about it all the time. I would feel like I would need it to do certain things, and I noticed that when I'd have a drink, there was a dramatic behaviour change and kind of belief in me. It would sort of, if it was drinking on the weekend, it would kind of be all I'd think about. I wouldn't be in the moment with my friends, or I would plan my life around it. And it got to the point where I couldn't enjoy and control my drinking at the same time. So if I did have one or two, I would feel really gutted, and really not happy about it and wanting more. And then the times where I felt like I enjoyed it, I would obliterate myself, really. I couldn't remember the night, and it would get to the point where I'd go out with my friends and I'd be like, this time's going to be different, this time I'm going to have a good time, remember the night. Every day, every time, wake up the next day, have literally no idea what happened that night, wake up with bruises, potentially. Yeah, I was so racked with guilt, you know, it was horrible. I was just thinking about what I've done, what I've said, what I've done to my body, and living a life that wasn't aligned with my values, really. And as time went by, taking more risks, and yeah, just becoming very unhappy and very reliant on it. And so I had an epiphany that I needed to stop drinking and that I had a problem, and kind of opened up to people. And I personally came into AA when I was 1 year sober after a 6 month relapse, because I felt as though I wanted to drink again. And I thought, I'll just wait and I'll just speak to other people that have had experience in this area and just see if I can relate to them. And it turns out that I could relate to other people's stories, and that my brain was trying to trick me into thinking that alcohol was a good idea again. And I'm so glad that I did come into these rooms, because my life is so much richer now that I don't drink and I don't have it in my life. And I know that I was my own worst enemy. I was just determined to be unhappy. And I don't need alcohol in my life anymore to make me, to complete me, or to make me feel like, to kind of, I don't know, numb myself out to deal with the world. I come into these rooms and I listen to people's stories and I take something away every time that's valuable. And I love how it's just people learning from their experience and each other. And there's just such a great sense of community. And yeah, just learning more about myself as I work through the steps, and trying to live life consciously has had a huge positive impact on my life. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thanks, Rosie. This is Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and I've got Mick Monmouth meeting on here in the studio. Jono, do you like to share?
Jono, and I'm an alcoholic. I woke up this morning and it's a beautiful day outside. Woke up and had breakfast and had a cup of coffee. I ended up having two, which I regret. I'm quite sensitive to caffeine now. I don't have a hangover every day, so I don't actually need it to be awake, so I forget that sometimes. But standing outside, having a vape, having my second cup of coffee, and it's such a cracking day outside, it's just so nice. The first thing really that popped into my head, once I'd kind of entered the world, was, fuck, it'd be great to smash a bottle of wine right now. And I'm talking, this is like 8:30 this morning. It blows my mind when these thoughts still pop into my head just when I come out of absolutely nowhere. I'm in my jammies, looking at my veggie garden, having a cup of coffee, and I feel like getting wasted. I'm 7 days sober, and I kind of thought that I was past this sort of thing. Plus, I'm medicated for it. I take my treatment, which helps with cravings in a big way. But I find myself getting a little bit complacent sometimes. I don't realise I'm being complacent until this sort of thing pops into my head. So I'm really glad to. I'm glad I had this planned. This is essentially a 10 o'clock meeting in the morning, keeps me a little bit honest. But I think it just really goes to show the habit that I've really built up. That alcohol controlled my life. It represented everything that I was. It was my identity. A replacement for, I was going to say, empty soul. That's a bit harsh. Probably not empty. That certainly replaced absolutely everything. Like, it dictated all of my relationships through my teens and my 20s. I met my wife wasted as, was that the swear? Wasted at a music festival 10 years ago. My career as a chef has been based around the idea that I can drink. Everything that's in my life. And being sober has been hard. The first couple of months. I actually started my sobriety 3 years ago, but the first couple of months I was just completely lost. I didn't know what to do with myself, because I didn't even know who I was. It's been quite a journey to actually get to where I am now. So ups and downs, and ebbs and flows, and ins and outs. But every single day that I spend not drinking, I just feel that much better about life. Like, it's quite astonishing to me how powerful the transition can be, going from being so incredibly depressed and oppressed, put down by drinking, hungover every day, and basing my life around the next time that I could actually get a drink. It's kind of cheesy, I think, saying that, like, when is the next time that I can get a drink, but I feel like I'm not the only one who, if I really actually think about it, so much of my life is based around, like, the 5 o'clock swill after work, or in my case, working nights, it'd be 12 o'clock at night, smashing beers in the kitchen at work. Like, it was everything, day to day, was when am I going to be drinking next, or why am I not drinking right now. And it's been hard to get used to. I think a lot of people find that quite hard, because you really have to, I found that I really had to explore who I was as a person, and to really discover what I've been missing. And sometimes it's not that pleasant, but mostly it's pretty great. I'm really glad to have actually made this change. It's interesting this morning, feeling the need to go and drink. Like, my drinking cost me my job, cost me my relationship. So I've never had a DIC, but it's like really blind luck that I haven't. I'd be lying if I said I've never done a drive. Nothing good came of it at all, but my mind still tells me that I can do it. So building up the resistance to that idea when it comes into my head has been a bit of a learning process, and meetings every day has been incredibly helpful for the past 48 days. Not that I'm counting. But yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much for having me again.
Thanks, Dano. This is Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and you're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous Meeting on Air. And if you're listening and you want to get in touch with AA, there's a website, which is www.aa.org.nz. In New Zealand, and on that website, there's information about Alcoholics Anonymous, there's information about meetings. And if you go to the section on meetings, and hover above that, and go to meetings on air, then you can actually come up with a list of these meetings. So they're downloadable and listenable, you know, little segments of these meetings. So you can listen to more and more and more of Alcoholics Anonymous Meeting on Air. So it's quite exciting. And there's a phone number as well, which is 0800 AA Works, which is 659037, I think. Yeah. So 0800 AA Works is the phone number. And that number is, in most parts of the country, will be answered by a sober alcoholic who can tell you a little bit about AA, answer some of your questions, and perhaps direct you to a meeting. Right, let's carry on with this gold stuff that we're still sharing. So, James, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm James. I call it. I started drinking at, radio at 19, so I was kind of late to a lot of people that I've heard sharing and spoke to over the years in and out of AA. But I never forget my first drunk, the first time, a few times I got drunk, very early on, and what I got up to as well was always stealing and lying, even at that early age. So the first time I did, I was 11, and then 15, and then 16, and it was always stealing and cheating and all sorts. And I was just a young, innocent lad, but obviously not. And you know, it just changes you so quickly. It doesn't matter what age, where you are, or what you're doing. And I definitely realised that even more. So I started at 19, and I was drinking, so I was out. I never stayed home and drank on my own. So I was at a party, house party. I was just itching to go to town, even though I knew I lived in a small town, it's going to be rubbish. I just want to be out, because that was me, that was my mindset. For some reason, that's the way it was for me. So I did ruin a lot of friends' parties, getting everyone out and going to town. But for me it was just relief, and I loved it because I didn't really have a nice kind of pleasant kind of upbringing in my teens. It was kind of, you know, mental health, in and out of mental hospitals, and it was just chaotic. It was just horrific, man. It was just not nice. And so then I got well and then discovered alcohol, and it's just like, well, it's all on now. And yeah, just started to feel accepted from people around it. It started to feel accepted by people for once. And it was just a big, big, massive party. And I was invited, it was great. But at the same time, you know, I look back on it and it wasn't great at all. It was, I got myself in some sticky situations and did some horrible things and said some horrible things. And just slowly but surely, just developing and becoming an arsehole. And I just, it wasn't really great looking back on it. And I went to a wedding a few years ago, and it was my mate's wedding, and she knew me when I drank, and all her friends who were there, I used to have house parties with them and used to go out with them or whatever. And I just, from that period of time, I kind of was together with one or two of the friends over the period of the time or whatever. And so then my mate, great, she's lovely, she sat me on the same table with one or two of them, and so it was just so awkward, really, really awkward. So I was sitting there with these, and so I kind of spoke to them and had a chat, and there was three of them, right, and individually I had a chat with them. Each one of them said, "Thank you, you're an absolute asshole." I couldn't believe it. I was just so oblivious to what was going on. I had no idea. And I needed that, and I really needed it to sit down with those girls and have a chat, and just to generally actually mean it and say sorry, because you have a sober then. So yeah, if it was earlier, I would have just been like, well, you know, your problem. But I think what my point is just that, you know, I've really kind of realised, you know, where I was at back then and where I am now. And it's just a journey, man, but this whole AA gig, it saved my life, and it saved a lot of others, and it's made me be able to, you know, what it's done for me is that now I can live in society, and I can actually, I can be there for others, and I can be me at the same time, and do me, and be me. Like, I was just too scared to do anything, to look in the eye, or absolutely anything, because I didn't know how to adult, I didn't know how to talk, it's just a mess, man. It's absolutely everyday chaos, and now that I have that chaos, like, now I have a choice. Before, I didn't have a choice. If I got up, drank, then it's all on, and it's not going to end well. But with AA, and I've got a choice that either I can behave like that or not, or I can drink or not, and you know, I don't always get it right, but man, I'm so much more happiness and more content than I ever had. And you know, I only had a 9-year drinking career, man. Like, I've met people that, you know, 40 plus or something, and no disrespect to them, but you know, they come in here and kids and everything while they drank, and I'm like, I'm lucky. And you know, I don't want that. I don't want to have that, you know, just having this for years and years and struggling with it. You know, I want to keep this. I want to keep this gem, man. This is a huge thing. And, you know, it's not easy. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, to be fair. But, you know, it's just a day-to-day thing. And so, yeah, I'm going to keep going. And people, I've seen from this, when people say when you come into AA, you know, just keep coming back, do it, because it took me 5 years to get properly sober in AA, but it's because I kept coming back, and that's because I was too scared to go out there drinking again, absolutely too scared. You know, that's the thing, when people say it, they don't say it lightly, they mean it, because they know what it's like. So yeah, thanks for your share.
Thanks, Ben. Ben, let's carry on. Nick, you're up this year.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nick, an alcoholic. And yeah, it's been really nice having a sharing. And yeah, and being sober, you know, being sober sort of allows me to, you know, listen to everyone sharing and some of it's, you know, quite new sort of sobriety. And so being sober to me, well, on reflection, allows me to participate in life, you know. When I drank, I wasn't really participating. I mean, I suppose I was participating at a certain level, you know, with other really heady drinkers, if you can call that a life. Invariably, I found most of those really heavy drinkers I was drinking with weren't all that happy anyway. So, you know, it was questionable whether they were participating in life. And not judging them at all, you know. Some of them probably slowed down and got this thing down to a more normal pattern, I'm sure. And others probably not. But, you know, my drinking was actually quite short-lived too, you know. It was really mostly all my 20s. And then I stopped drinking at around 30 until I was around 36, or 30, 31 to about 36, 37. And I started drinking again for about a year and a half, off and on, and then stopped 9 years ago. So, you know, and the weird thing was, you know, during that year and a half, and I was talking to James before the meeting started about how after a long period of time of sobriety, for me, my experience was that I was doing my best to sort of prove to the world, I guess, that I wasn't an alcoholic, that I could be normal, that I had this thing under control, and I could participate in society as a drinker. And anyway, I only drank beer, and I didn't drink spirits anymore. That was that young thing I did, you know, with a whiskey case and whatever. I didn't do that, you know. So I adjusted all my stuff, you know. I wasn't sticking things up my nose or anything like that. So, hey, this thing is, you know, reset, under control. Within about 10 days, it wasn't, you know. And it wasn't so much about the quantity. It was just that every day was a conversation within my head of, is today a drinking day? Is there a way I can not make this a drinking day? Can I not drink during the week and then leave it to the weekend? Does that make me a non-alcoholic? And I tried that. And for a bit, I can sort of convince myself that maybe I wasn't. You know, I'm lasting through the week, so nothing to see here. But you know, but invariably I was drinking solo anyway. And all the people that actually wanted to drink with, the so-called normal people, none of them wanted to drink with me because they already knew that I was an alcoholic. And they knew that I'd been really miserable when I drank. So they knew it was probably going to happen again. And did. And I was really miserable again. You know, so, and I spent that entire year and a half, you know, a few months of drinking, and then, a couple of weeks off, 3 weeks off, a month off, you know, we'll, you know, think of seeing the light now. And then, you know, something would, you know, get me back into it again, you know, some sort of event that was invariably created by me. Would have me back in, you know, whether it was a relationship I wasn't really into or that sort of thing. You know, I'd create something, work, you know, that sort of thing. So, or mostly it was about living in the past because my head was so stuck in the past because, you know, that few things hadn't gone that well for me either, you know. Loss of really important people in your life, you know, tends to throw you about. But then if you continue to live that that episode of your life over and over again, then I shouldn't have been surprised I was getting the same result over and over again, you know. So, you know, it's, I think, you know, sobriety nowadays is, I think what is really good is that it's more acceptable to be sober, even if you are an alcoholic. You know, they don't even twitch if you're at something social and you say, oh no, I'm just having that whatever, ginger beer or whatever. My experience, no one seems to sort of say, what's wrong with you, mate? You know? I've had that before and it's really kind of annoying and I've reacted, you know, in a really kind of aggressive way, once or twice, you know, like
what's wrong with me? Well, let me tell you then. You know, but that's kind of stuff like this, isn't it? You know, because people want to know. But what's wrong with us? it is good being sober. I don't have all the answers. But, you know, as I said, it helps me participate in life. It gives me a life. I can do things, options, ideas, creative things, sport things, work things, whatever. These things are all available to me. They're not available to me if I'm fighting a hangover. It's just not there. It doesn't matter which way I frame it. It's just not there. So, thanks.
Thank you. This is Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. You're listening to a Welsh Anonymous meeting on air. There's the phone number, I've looked it up now, the AA phone number, 800, sorry, excuse me, 800-229-6757 is the phone number. That's the number I read out before, and the website's still the same, aa.org.nz, if you wanted to get in touch with Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, let's come on with the sharing. Angela, would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. My name's Angela. I'm an alcoholic. And it's really nice to start the weekend with a meeting. I know when I was first around the room, when I first came in, just in mornings I just felt so uncomfortable. I'd sort of wake up thinking, oh, it's the weekend. And at that time I was a shift worker, so I didn't even have that many Saturday mornings off. But when I did, I'd wake up with all these expectations, you know, in my mind about, you know, it's going to be this, and I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to feel like this. And of course, I woke up with my head, you know, I woke up feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, and I woke up feeling fear, and they were the only things I knew, really. Although it took me a number of years in sobriety to understand that that's what I felt, and put names to the jumble of whatever it was inside me. So I got into a habit early on of thinking I'd get up and I'd go to a meeting on Saturday morning, and that would be followed by the meeting after the meeting, and we'd all go and have, you know, bacon and eggs, and by then I'd really go to sleep again. Ready for the afternoon nap. Always been a champion sleeper. So it was just such a comfort to know that I could do that. I needed that routine and I needed the fellowship, because all that jumble of stuff inside my head and inside my guts and whatever was just so uncomfortable, and that's the reason I drank. And then I completely identified with the sharing about waking up and thinking, oh, it's a beautiful day, let's just crack open a whatever. You know, it was just, you know, immediate reaction. It was just what I did. Now, there was a point in my drinking when I was quite young. I grew up in public. My father was a hotel manager. I grew up in a drinking environment, and we lived on site in a hotel. And I could get up and go to the bars anytime I like. And the youngest of three, my brother and sister were quite a lot older than me. And my mum and dad worked really hard, so I was sort of tick about by myself a lot as a teenager. And it was easy to nip into the bars and get a shot, you know, and I had, you know, grown up seeing people drink in what I thought was a really glamorous way, at the time for me, you know, sort of like early 70s, women in cocktail dresses and beehives and pale lipstick and false lashes, and I just thought, oh my god, you know, that's fantastic, and look, they're having fun, you know, even my parents, you know, when they had a few drinks, they were much easier to be around, and I just thought, well, there's the answer, I couldn't want to drink, and, you know, I had this constant feeling of anxiety, and very frightened at school, and just a frightened person, and in my family, that seemed larger than life, that felt really unacceptable. So I couldn't wait to drink, and I couldn't wait to have that comfort. I knew it would help, you know, because I could see the evidence of it all around me. And so I started drinking at quite a young age, sort of 13, 14, I mean, not drunk at school every day kind of thing, but I started to form a relationship with alcohol where it was my best friend, and it would always catch me. And that is the relationship I had with it right through, really. I would sneak over and I'd get drinks and I'd sit by the pool and I would drink some more and I just wanted to drink. And I thought, I can negotiate life and I can negotiate whole feelings as long as I can drink. I was always the one that was kind of, get the older sitting boy or the older sitting girl, quite often it was the girl, to go down to, bottle store and get a box of wine because that was my priority. And then I could handle the social events. Everyone else was just having fun, but I was like, well, I'll have some drinks and then I'll have fun because I needed to take away that anxiety. So, it was my best friend. And one of the things that, so I never grew up really understanding what all those feelings were, and I wasn't able to put a label to the feeling of fear for probably till I did my step four in recovery. And it was just an enormous relief to have those things explained to me, to be given an explanation for those feelings. I was so far away, really, by the time I came in my 20s, from all of that bundle of emotion. I've been habitually drinking for so long and avoiding everything for so long that, I couldn't explain or label anything. And so when I was able to sit down with somebody who grew up in the north of England, with a completely different background to me, completely different culture, really, and here I was, girl from New Zealand who drank at surf club parties and what have you, but when we shared with one another, I knew we identified with one another in a way that I had never identified with anyone before. I knew that we knew how each other felt, and that was the power of it. That was the power of, we're the two alcoholics together. There was a meeting, and that was it. And I was just so grateful for the time she gave me to, talk about her experience and for me to slowly put my story together. So meetings, when I woke up with all those horrible feelings on Saturday morning, I just like, right, meeting, get up, go. And I just kept doing that, really, until I worked my way through the steps and until I was able to feel like I wasn't a bad person anymore, or I wasn't a person who was empty anymore. In fact, that there was a part of me that had been really sick, but it wasn't all of me. And, I was getting better, and I was getting to know who I was, and I was able to start making choices for myself, and that's what the program gave me. And I think where I've been lately, where I am in my life at the moment, is that for a number of years down the road, and married, and I've got a couple of beautiful kids, one of them is going to leave home soon, and go off to university. And I've found over the years, not having close family, working full time and the normal pressures of family life and financial strain and all the normal stuff, trying to get school paid, all the stuff, it was almost bigger than me, it was almost more than I could manage over the years. And I never drank again, but I didn't stick to my program, I think, as much as I needed to. It says in the big book, it's really clear, it says on a white thing, we consider the 24 hours ahead, the instructions are really clear. And I just sort of thought, I'm okay now, I'm not drinking. And I'm too busy to, going to meetings a week. At one time I was a bit of a workaholic and I just sort of popped into guest appearances at meetings for a couple of years. And I just drifted, really. But I didn't know. And alcohol is a subtle flow, and it's disease, they press up in the corner. And without me knowing it, I think my illness has really, led me around by a cane, and more than it needed to, and caused me pain where I could have had choice over the last few years. So I'm getting back to the basics, really. I'm getting back to the big book, because I think, that is the one answer for me. It is all in there, and I really believe, for me, that if I put that first, then I've got a chance. If I put that first, the answers are there, and it doesn't have to be exclusively the big book and the program, but that's where it needs to start for me, because I'm an alcoholic, and that is the jigsaw piece that always works for me. That is the jigsaw piece that fitted, and the people around me that had what I wanted, it's the jigsaw piece that fitted them too, with the 12 steps. And so I'm really enjoying putting my hands up and thinking, you know what, powerlessness, I manage everything. You know, let's just stay a little bit closer. And I think that for me to say that's a really good thing. So, sad to be the Thursday morning meeting and have an opportunity to share. What a great way to start the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. This is Drunk and Access Radio, 106.9 FM. And this is Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. This is the Red 5 AA, I've mentioned it before, if you want to get in touch with Alcoholics Anonymous, aa.org.nz. And the meetings on air are actually on the website. If you hover above meetings, click down to meetings on air, click on that, which I'm doing now, and it comes up with a big long list of downloadable little podcast things of these meetings on air. And some of them are 45 minutes long, some of them are 30 minutes long. The 45 minute long ones are from Wellington, the 30 minute long ones are from Auckland, I believe, and I can't vouch for their quality, but I'm sure they're good. I'm sure they're very good too. But it's all the same message.
Yeah.
Victoria, do you like to share?
Yeah, sure, I will.
Kia ora koutou, my name's Victoria. I'm an alcoholic. Feeling a little bit in the dog box today. You may notice there's 3 minutes and 50 seconds of dead air at the start of this podcast. That is my fault. For the first time in 4 years, I overslept, so the meeting did not start on time. So I do apologise for that. But the good news is that today I don't have to drink over it, because that is the kind of thing I used to drink over, you know? I'm an alcoholic, which means I just love the effect produced by alcohol, but I always used to find the stupidest reasons for me to get drunk. And something like this would have made me get drunk, you know? I would have told myself that I was a failure, that I'd let everyone down, but I probably would have gone, oh, if that, I'm just not going to go at all, you know, just try to cancel the meeting, and just drink, you know, just hide from everyone. And I know that even in sobriety, if I'm not working in the program, I can still do that kind of stuff, you know, like, this would sometimes send me into this kind of emotional thing of just telling myself, just talking to myself in my head all day about how terrible I was and how the rest of the day was a bit of a waste, you know, and so I need to be really careful of that kind of alcoholic thinking in sobriety. But yeah, I'm just so grateful today that everyone can join us, because, you know, you guys keep me sober. I can't do this by myself. I'm coming up on 6 months of continuous sobriety, which is really exciting for me. And I have to say that working the steps and going to meetings every day and being in contact with alcoholics, it's really the bright spot of my life at the moment. Because I've just been going through a rough time, and just having people who understand is really important. So if anyone out there is listening and, you know, has a problem, I would really encourage you to come give us a visit. It's never too late, and if you've gone out, you can always come back. So, yeah, really glad to have you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Victoria. Well, I might as well share for the last couple of minutes. So, I'm Dan, I'm an alcoholic. And it's always a pleasure to be at these meetings. Sorry, there's a cough in this meeting today, so I apologize to our listeners. A cough on teeth is the word back into the studio. I really have to remember just to be grateful every day. And I think for me it's easy to be grateful when I'm sitting in a studio full of other alcoholics and sharing our experiences and hopes and remembering what it was like in some of those days when, you know, alcohol was, for me, alcohol was a huge part of my life. And Saturday mornings were very different. And I'm very grateful that I don't wake up on a Saturday morning now and wonder where I am, what I've done, who I should apologise to, and I can, you know, add some value to something in the day, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. And I think I just have to remember to remain grateful. So I think a grateful alcoholic, you know, is it's a good thing. Right. Well, that's enough, I think. So let's you all join me, and we'll say the sermon prayer together. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, power to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
That program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding the Access Internet Radio Project.